James, will you please explain what's going on? Pirates? Treasure? 1756?
That must be Kincaid's helicopter taking off.
Painted black with a skull and crossbones on the side. How'd you know?
James is right, Mrs. Hawkins. How do you not sound crazy when you explain that the guy is a 300-year-old pirate named Flint?
We love stories!
It's time for the Appleseed, sometime just about every day. Filled with stories for you and your family, I'm Sam Payne. It's great to have you with us, and we're super excited about the hour we're going to spend today. And that's partly because we're bringing you Treasure Island 2020, unfolding it day by day here on the Appleseed, the time-traveling, serialized adventure retelling of Robert Louis Stevenson's classic novel Treasure Island, the adventures of James and Morgan and Max and Billy Bones and the rest in an exciting 10-part series produced with our partners at Gen Z Media. They've created a lot of terrific content you can check out at their website, bestrobotever.com. And of course, there's, again, a lot of stuff there, serialized storytelling for all ages, for family audiences that you're really going to enjoy. You want to pay a visit to bestrobotever.com. It's been really a pleasure for us to work with the guys at Gen Z Media on Treasure Island 2020. Now, we're going to get to episode 8 of Treasure Island 2020 in just a moment. But, you know, it's been a while since we brought you an entry in the Radio Family Journal. We dug this one up about pirates. A nice beginning to today's episode here on the Appleseed.
The Radio Family Journal with Sam Payne. A tiny little story for you and your family. Right when you need it. On the Appleseed.
When I was in elementary school, every once in a while, when we'd been very good, we'd all be herded into the cafeteria, carrying our chairs, and we'd sit in rows with an aisle down the middle, and Mr. Page, the principal, rolled a big cart into that aisle, and on that big cart was a reel-to-reel film projector. And they'd turn the lights out, and on came the projector. Movie magic, right there in the cafeteria of Alpine Elementary School. And that's how I saw The Legend of Sleepy Hollow for the first time, and Gus, the Tim Conway, Don Knotts movie about the mule who kicks field goals. And it's the way I first saw Return from Witch Mountain, the sequel to Escape to Witch Mountain, in which brother and sister, Tony and Tia, think they just have magical powers, but they're really from another planet. It's kind of hard to explain. But in the sequel, the bad guys are played by Betty Davis and Christopher Lee, and the kids befriend a bunch of lovable, would-be tough kids called the Earthquake Gang. In fact, when you meet the Earthquake Gang, they're running away from another gang called the Golden Goons, and Tia saves them by using her outer space magic powers. And I gotta say, when I saw the Earthquake Gang on screen, I decided I was gonna have a gang just like that. I recruited my little brother Joe and our best friends, James and Jeff Lamping, a couple of brothers who lived down the street, and we made a gang. We even built a clubhouse. It was made out of a pile of old doors someone was getting rid of. My dad had brought the doors into our backyard to do something artsy with. I still don't know what he was going to do, ever, but he was slow on the draw, so we dragged them out into the empty field behind our house, and we built a fort out of those doors. Think of the way you might build a fort out of blankets in the living room. And that was kind of our clubhouse, only made out of doors. And we took the crayon bucket out there, and we drew a big red devil on the main door of the fort, and we called ourselves the Red Devils. Of course, when my folks found out, though, they weren't crazy about the name of our gang. We were God-fearing people, after all, and the notion of their kids being in a gang called the Red Devils was enough to make my dad sit us down and read to us some particularly nasty passages about what a rascal Satan is, and, well, it worked. We decided to call ourselves something else. But the truth is, the picture of the Red Devil on the clubhouse was, well, it was awesome. So we decided not to get rid of it. We just altered it. We drew a long purple coat on the devil, and under it a shirt with enormous floppy cuffs, and we put a big admiral's hat on him, and we changed one of his hands into a hook. It was perfect. The Red Devils no more. We were the pirates. We were in a gang called the Pirates. We'd never felt so cool. And the clubhouse was just the beginning. We went to my mom, and we asked her if she would sew us some club patches. And listen, I don't know what you look back on as a sure sign of your mother's love for you, but I look back on the crazy sewing things we made my mom do. One Halloween, my brother and I both wanted to go trick-or-treating as Chewbacca, and my mom made both of us Chewbacca costumes. One time, I got tired of having Star Wars action figures and wanted Raiders of the Lost Ark action figures instead. Well, my mom sewed Raiders of the Lost Ark costumes for my action figures. That was my mom. And now, here she was making us club patches. We drew little skulls on pieces of pale yellow felt, and my mom cut those skulls out and sewed them onto little black fields and sewed the patches at our request on the insides of our jacket collars. That way, on the playground, no one would know we were even part of a gang. But if we met another gang member, we could turn the inside of our collar out to show the patch. And that way, we could know a gang member from the average kid on the playground. Never mind that there were only four of us. We were the Pirates. I don't know how we finally disbanded. We probably just got into breakdancing or something, and the pirate fever wore off. But while it lasted, man, being part of a pirate crew was the best. Good guy pirates we were, of course, honor bound to take care of any trouble in our neighborhood with piratey dispatch, a buckle and a swash, and never take the credit for it. Part of the code. I hang out with my brother from time to time, though he lives far away, and I see the life of doing good that has sprung in his life from our pirate gang days. I haven't seen James or Jeff Lamping in 30 years, but when I see them again, I'm going to ask to see the inside of their jacket collars, just in case.
The Radio Family Journal of Sam Payne, a tiny little story for you and your family, right when you need it, on the Appleseed.
Thanks for listening to that entry in the Radio Family Journal here on the Appleseed. You know, we always hope that the stories that we bring you here on the show spark memories for you that you can share with the people that you love. Even the piratey stories, right? We're going to be right back with Episode 8 of Treasure Island 2020. You won't want to miss a single word. I'm Sam Payne.
You're listening to the Appleseed. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to the Appleseed. Here's Sam Payne.
It's great to have you back with us here on the Appleseed, bringing you today Treasure Island 2020, Episode 8. When we last left our heroes, James, Morgan, and Max, they had just come back to the present after being in the past with Long John Silver and Captain Bonnie O'Rourke and Ben Gunn and the rest, and they found themselves face to face with their old enemy, Frank Kincaid, the famous undersea explorer. What happens next? Well, that's what's coming up. Treasure Island 2020, Episode 8, here on the Appleseed.
James, Morgan, Max, may I be the first to say, welcome home.
Mr. Kincaid and I have been waiting for you.
Home? It's summer, in Montauk.
Like we never left.
No, my backpack. I know I had it when we went into the vortex. We must have lost it when the boat split apart and we washed up on the beach. The book, the coin!
You've had quite a journey, haven't you? But like all good things, it comes to an end.
What do you want, Kincaid?
You know what we want, Jimmy boy.
Where's the treasure?
Treasure? What treasure?
We have no clue what you're talking about.
How about I ask in a more direct way?
Now, Lena. No need for stronger measures yet. Come along, children.
Ugh! Where are you taking us?
Time to go home, James. Mother's waiting.
Hey, no,
stop.
Get up!
Stop!
No!
Mom? Mom, where are you?
She's fine. My associates have been keeping your mother company, making sure she doesn't go anywhere.
Mom? James? Oh, thank goodness you're all right.
I missed you.
James, you had me so worried. It's been hours.
Hours? We've only been gone hours?
You look different. Have you grown?
Time flies when you're having fun. Lena, please invite our other two young friends to join us.
Inside, you two.
Okay, you don't have to push.
Get your hands off me, lady!
Morgan, Max, I'm so glad to see you.
Not half as glad as we are to see you, Mrs. Hawkins.
This is kidnapping. You know that, right? A federal offense.
You should be in jail.
No need for threats. Mrs. Hawkins, please encourage your son and his friends to cooperate.
I warned you, Kincaid, if you hurt these children...
No harm will come to anyone. All I want is the treasure.
James, what's he talking about? What treasure?
It's a long story, and I hope we live long enough to tell it.
You found Ben Gunn, didn't you? You came through with his boat.
He found us. We wouldn't be here without him.
Ben was always a smart one. Like you, Max. Too smart for his own good, if you ask me. Now, the treasure.
Sorry to report that the gold remained in 1756 with Captain Bonnie O'Rourke of the Hispaniola.
Did you say 1756?
A female pirate?
She's no pirate! Bonnie O'Rourke was the captain of her own ship. Unlike some people, she gives the orders.
Until it was stolen from her by the one-legged seafaring man.
Long John Silver? I should have known he'd turn up like a bad shilling. Did he play the role of the innocent cook? Pretend to be your friend?
You talk like you know him.
Never mind that. You took something with you on your journey, and I want it.
Morgan, did we take something of Mr. Kincaid's?
Not that I remember. Max?
Search me.
We will, if necessary. Cynthia, tell your son to give me the book.
What book?
The one he took from the lighthouse.
Why is the book so important to you?
I can think of one reason. Max, remember the page you tore from the pirate book? The portrait you projected onto the sail to frighten the crew?
I said I was sorry about that.
No, I mean, take a good look at Mr. Kincaid. Does he remind you of anyone?
Enough of this nonsense! Either you tell us where to find that treasure chest, or...
It's him! Why didn't I see it right away?
James, is it possible?
That's another thing my dad used to say. Right, Mom?
The impossible is always possible.
But then, you know that, don't you, Mr. Kincaid? Or should I say, the Dread Captain Flint?
BYU Radio presents Treasure Island 2020, a reimagined audio adventure based on the classic novel by Robert Louis Stevenson. Episode 8, Captain Flint.
Kincaid is Flint! He came from the past, just like Billy!
I'm nothing like that coward, Billy Bones.
Who is this Captain Flint?
According to the stories, the Scourge of the Caribbean. One of the most ruthless, deadly pirates ever to sail the seas.
Miss Hawkins, are you in there? It's Joe Healy from the Montauk PD.
The police! Officer Healy, we're in here! I've never been so glad to see anyone. These people...
Hello, Joe!
Oh, Mr. Kincaid, I didn't know you were staying here.
Mrs. Hawkins has been very accommodating.
You know each other?
He's a great friend of the department. Donated all sorts of equipment.
Is there a problem, Joe?
We got a call from Miss McGinty at the lighthouse. She said there was some kind of incident.
Incident?
Officer Healy, if you listen.
I'm afraid it's my fault. I asked James and his friends to pick up a book for me. I needed it for my research. I guess dear old Mrs. McGinty must have forgotten. I'll be sure to return it, along with a donation to the museum.
Thanks, Mr. Kincaid. This town needs more folks like you. Well, I'll be on my way.
Officer Healy!
Yes, James.
Go on, James.
Your mother and I are dying to hear what you have to say.
I was just going to say... Please tell Mrs. McGinty hello.
Will do. You take care now.
Smart boy. Isn't he a smart boy, Lena?
Brilliant, Captain.
Captain? Then you admit it. Your real name is Flint.
Why should I deny it? Indeed, before you stands the dread Captain Flint, the scourge of the Caribbean, commander of the Walrus, the most feared ship on this side of the world. I traveled here to your time, the same way you traveled back to mine.
You got here before Billy Bones?
Billy was always a little slow. I found the vortex long before he did.
And you must have been trapped ever since.
Trapped? Hardly. 300 years ago, a pirate was an outcast, a misfit, only good for hanging. We lived lives that were hard and short.
You're still a pirate.
Aye, but look at me now. I wear expensive suits, I ride in luxury automobiles, I fly on airplanes. I have an office in a skyscraper with an elevator and air conditioning. I drink and eat the finest things in the world. Things an old buccaneer could only dream of. And once I have my real treasure, Ben Gunn's treasure, I'll be the greatest pirate of all time!
No!
Take them to the ship! Mrs. Hawkins, kids, welcome aboard the Walrus 2. It's what you might call an upgrade.
Look at all of this equipment. CTDs and XBC profilers. It's like a spaceship in the water.
Only the best for me and my crew. Remind me to give you a tour, Max, once we find what we're looking for.
There's a nasty fog moving in, Captain.
All the better. This will keep away prying eyes as we go about our work.
I still think we should have left the mother and the brats on shore.
Lena, do as you're told. Let me do the thinking, understand?
Like I said, some women take orders and some women give them. Right, Mrs. Hawkins?
Couldn't have said it better myself, Morgan.
Both of you, keep your mouth shut if you know what's good for you.
Listen up, shipmates! This fog won't prevent our using the multi-beam echo sounder and the underwater drone. We're looking for pieces of a motorboat at the bottom of the ocean. The first one who sights it gets double his or her share. So get to work!
James, will you please explain what's going on? Pirates? Treasure? 1756?
Mom, I know it sounds crazy, but it all started when I found Billy Bones on the beach.
He was a real pirate, Mrs. Hawkins, from over 250 years ago.
But how? It's really very simple. There's a hole in the space-time continuum, a portal, a vortex, if you will. You see, Einstein's theory of special relativity...
Okay, Max, nerd out later. Point is, it took us back in time to an island where we found the treasure.
Simple, huh?
Along the way, we met some scary people, but also some really nice ones. And one who was scary and nice, I guess, named Long John Silver.
So this Captain Flint or Frank Kincaid has been searching for his treasure since the 1700s?
Only we told him the treasure was returned by our friend Bonnie, so what's he looking for out there?
Mr. Kincaid, we're getting a ping from the echo sounder.
Does it fit the profile?
That's affirmative.
Prepare the ZX-3000 underwater drone. Max, would you like to assist?
Assist with the ZX-3000?
Max, remember what happened the last time you assisted a pirate?
I'll pass.
Pity. I could use a bright kid like you on my crew. Once I have what I need, I'm afraid you'll be expendable along with your friends.
Listen, Kincaid or Flint or whatever your name is, you promised me no one would get hurt. Or is the truth expendable too?
You've got spirit, my dear. One more reason I like it here in your world. The lassies are bold.
Are we here for the treasure or something else?
Why, Lena, if I didn't know better, I'd say you were jealous. Lower the drone!
And now, a word from our sponsor.
You can
can depend on the number one pirate action news team. Get shipping transit reports from trusted informant Peter McPilfer.
There's a sizable schooner that's loaded with spices and wealthy people heading toward the island this evening.
Get live launch details from the East Dock with award-winning reporter Lisbeth Hawkeye Hawkins.
Two ships are prepping to set out in the morning. Both are loaded with provisions.
Get the coast's most accurate weather from Stormy Argyle.
There's hard rain and mighty waves heading our way. Batten down the hatches!
And get exciting sports updates from Jocko Bartholomew.
First Mate Benjamin Bligh from the dreadship Crossbones suffered a serious leg injury during an improvised game of Dodge the Harpoon.
Get all of the important information you need from the number one pirate action news team. Arr.
And now, back to the show.
Look at how it searches. Imagine my old crew of the Walrus with something like this.
Okay, I know I'm not supposed to think this is awesome or anything, but this is kinda awesome.
See it there on the ocean floor, shipmates? A gift from old Neptune himself.
I see pieces of the boat. That must be it.
Haul her up and be quick about it, or the sea floor will be your home.
Is it me, or is Kincaid beginning to sound like Captain Flint?
His true self is coming out. Greed will do that.
Clear the deck! Make way!
What is that mechanical arm bringing up?
Hard to tell. It's covered in seaweed.
Gather round, mateys! You too, James. Morgan, Max, Mrs. Hawkins.
That's definitely not a treasure chest. It's so small.
I don't need that old chest. Not when soon I'll have the greatest treasure of all time!
James, I don't understand. That's
my backpack!
Tell me, Hawkins, is it in there? Ben Gunn's true treasure?
Let go of my son!
Lena, hold her back!
Take it easy, Mrs. Hawkins. Get away from me!
Talk, James.
I don't know what you mean.
I heard you say it. On the beach, after you came back through. The book and the coin were in your backpack. Ben Gunn figured out the equation, didn't he?
Don't tell him anything, Hawkins!
He doesn't have to! I can see it all over his innocent little face. Lena, tear apart that backpack!
No!
My treasure!
That's it? One coin? Doesn't even look like a real doubloon. Is that Ben Gunn's face?
Pick it up.
Morgan, quick, grab it!
Got it!
I'll take that, miss!
Stay away from her!
Morgan, throw it overboard! Now!
I don't think so.
Let go of my arm!
No!
You don't understand what that is!
But I do! And I've wanted it for a long, long time. Ben Gunn thought he could escape me forever, but I outsmarted the genius!
What is it, James? Why is that coin so important?
The greatest treasure of all. Time itself.
Time?
Ben Gunn found a way to control the vortex.
A way to travel anywhere in history. And if you can do that...
Then all the legendary treasures of the world can be mine. The tombs of the pharaohs. The glory that was Rome. The golden city of Genghis Khan. It's all there for the taking. I've had my scientists trying to put together the formula since Ben disappeared. But now... Thanks to you, my young friends, I have all I need to turn that fantasy into reality!
Not if we stop you!
Jimmy, boy, I'm going to miss you. We don't have a plank on this here vessel, but you'll end up in the water just the same. Lena!
Wait! You can't do this!
I'm afraid you've left me no choice. Say your goodbyes. Soon, you'll be joining your son and his friends in the deep blue sea. Head to open water!
Step up onto the railing, the four of you.
So you can shoot us in the back?
If you'd prefer, you can turn and face me. Either way, you're going over the side.
This is murder.
These days we call it business.
You're an evil, evil man.
I'd have a hard time convincing you otherwise.
James, do something. You're the genius, Max. You must have a backup plan for this moment. Right, Hawkins?
Enough!
There's a storm approaching. Lena, you know what to do.
Walk to the edge. Now!
I'm sorry, Mom. This is my fault.
Don't say that.
It's true. You told me not to go.
And I helped you get the boat. Whatever happens, I'm proud of you, James. Your father would be proud, too.
Ah, save the treacly goodbyes. After all, you're all about to be together forever. Beneath the waves.
It's been an honor, Hawkins.
Despite it all, I'm glad we met you.
You two guys.
Into the water. On one,
two. Whoa, what was that?
What was that?
The vortex. Something came through.
I see it through the fog, whatever it is.
It's huge.
I don't believe it.
Is that a pirate ship?
It's the Hispaniola. And look who's at the helm.
Ahoy there, James lad.
It's Long John Silver.
James, who's that man on the old ship? Another pirate?
Long John Silver. It can't be.
Aye, mateys. This here ship barely made it through that whirlpool, but we're both still breathing.
Still breathing.
Polly's here too.
Left me crew behind in the longboats.
What are you doing here?
Well, I came here to rescue you, of course.
But how did you even know we were in trouble?
Does it matter why I came through? After all, I'm here now, ain't I? And I'm here to help. I owe you kids.
You sure do.
So he's a good guy?
I wouldn't say that. But I do believe he's on our side for the moment.
John Silver! You're a hard one to kill!
Look who's talking, Flint.
The name's Kincaid now. Too bad you came all this way for nothing. You and that ancient tub are bound for Davy Jones's locker.
You don't scare me. That may be a newfangled ship you're sailing, but I've got one good cannon left. Enough to send me old skipper to a watery grave.
You wouldn't risk the lives of these dear innocents, would you?
Blast it!
You should have stayed in the past where you belong. Full power! Ram that rotten wreck and sink it!
No! Leave Long John Silver alone! You have what you want, take it and go!
I vowed if I ever laid eyes on John Silver again, I'd do him the dirty. Flint, I mean Kincaid, always keeps his promises. Scuttle the Hispaniola!
As you wish, Captain. Full speed ahead!
Brace yourself, Polly!
Hang on, Mr. Silver!
Wait, where's that music coming from? It's that tourist boat, the Jolly Roger. And it's sailing this way.
Arr, shiver me timbers, seems we've run into some scurvy buccaneers. Avast, ye mateys!
A reminder to all passengers of the Jolly Roger, please keep arms and hands inside the ship at all times.
Will you look at that, Ruth? Another pirate ship.
Must be part of the entertainment.
Harry, get a picture of me with that funny old pirate in the background.
Say, isn't that fancy ship getting a little too close to that old heap?
We're gonna ram the Hispaniola! Hang on, everybody!
Ship's taken on water!
We're done for, Polly!
Done for?
Wow! That looked real!
Harry, stop talking and take pictures!
Hey, if I didn't know better, I'd say that old boat was sinking!
Ram it again!
The Hispaniola is sinking!
We have to do something!
Hey, you on the party boat! Can you help Long John Silver?
Someone, throw him a line!
I believe I can lend the old dog a hand!
Billy Bones? He's on the Jolly Roger!
Billy!
Billy Bones, you old cur!
So, another bad shilling turns up.
It's me you want, Flint. Leave the others be and we'll settle this fair and square.
Ah! You're too late, Billy Bones. You and your tattoo can go to blazes now. I have the real treasure.
Billy Bones, you scabby sea bass, do something before me and Polly are fish food.
Do you hear that?
They sound just like real pirates.
Huh. Johnny Depp would grab that rope and swing across to the sinking ship.
The rope! The rope!
Be careful!
All right, John Silver, I'm coming. Here it goes!
He's doing it! He's swinging over on the rope!
John Silver, grab hold. I'll swing you back to the Jolly Roger.
Now, don't drop me.
Or me!
Wow, that was close. Just like the movies.
I've seen better.
There you are. Safe and sound. The Jolly Roger.
Stay right there. I want to get your picture.
Harry?
This is their job, Ruth.
They're safe.
Billy did it! He saved John Silver!
Nobody gets the better of Flint or Kincaid. Ram the Jolly Roger! Sink the lot of them!
That's a party boat full of witnesses. Kincaid, are you going to drown them too?
The kid has a point. Besides, we got what we came for.
They mean nothing to me. Scuttle the Jolly Roger. Let it sink alongside the Hispaniola.
But Captain...
Do as I say, or you'll join them.
Yes, Captain.
We can't let them ram the party ship, and I need to get you kids back to land.
I have an idea, Mom. Morgan, Captain Bonnie taught you how to steer a ship, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, the Hispaniola, not something as advanced as this.
I can help you figure it out, but how do we get the wheel from Lena?
Element of surprise.
Lena's going to drive the boat right into the Jolly Roger. At the last second...
I'll tackle her from behind. Max, you grab the wheel.
Turn it hard so we barely miss the ship and spin up alongside.
And after we turn?
I think you know the answer to that, Max.
I'm jumping again, aren't I?
Just hurry. We won't have the element of surprise for long.
Come on, Max. Let's go to the cockpit.
Coming.
You think they can do it, James?
I know they can.
Full speed ahead, Lena! Ram the Jolly Roger!
Come on, Morgan! Come on, Max!
Impact in 3, 2!
Come on.
Take that! They did it!
Sideswipe! Lena!
What are you doing? Lena!
Mom, take my hand.
James, what are you doing?
Please, Mom, trust me.
Always.
Lena, stop them!
The girl attacked me!
Run, Max, hurry!
That was an awesome tackle, Morgan.
Great job, guys. I've got my backpack. Everyone, jump onto the deck of the Jolly Roger, now!
Hate it!
Best show ever.
Harry, get a shot with me with the kids and the pirates.
Everyone get together. You, with the peg leg, over here.
Smile, everybody.
What is happening?
Just smile, Mr. Silver.
Everybody say, arr!
Arr!
Should have killed them all when I had the chance.
But we have the treasure, right? The coin?
Yes. Yes, you're right. We have everything we could ever need. We're done with those blasted kids and Long John Silver. Soon we'll be more powerful than they could ever imagine. Make for shore!
Glad you enjoyed the pirate battle, folks. We're heading back to the harbor now. Don't forget to buy your Jolly Roger Skull and Bones t-shirts.
Shiver me timbers, me three brave mateys. Am I glad to see you? No hard feelings, I hope.
We still don't trust you, John Silver, but we're glad to see you too.
And who, pray tell, is this lovely lady?
Oh, I'm James's mother. My friends call me Cynthia.
Cynthia.
Cynthia!
Mom, I'd better warn you.
Mr. Silver is a pirate, yes, I can see that, James. And so is Billy Bones. Seems like some pirates are worse than others.
Aye, ma'am. You're wise as well as beautiful.
That's very kind of you.
Perhaps you
James,
could, teach
I think Long John Silver is flirting with your mom.
No way.
Yeah, he is.
Excuse me, Cynthia. Billy Bones, time for us to talk.
Mr. Bones, how did you end up working on a tourist boat?
The last time we saw you, you were climbing out of the window of a hospital.
Well, a man has to eat, and where else can an old pirate get work these days? Besides, I already had the crows.
Billy Bones, as soon as we reach dry land, you and me have a score to settle.
Call us even, John. I just saved your life.
And cost me a fortune in gold.
Okay, time out. I know you two have been enemies for like 300 years, but if we're going to stop Kincaid or Flint, we all need to work together.
The lad's right, John. Let bygones be bygones.
Them's his words to live by, Billy. Trouble is, I don't live by him.
Arr! You socked me in the jaw!
Now we're even.
Lena, on to the chopper, and be quick about it.
We'll take the coin back to the lab.
Not we, Lena, me. You stay behind and make sure no one follows.
I go where you go. We split 50-50, remember?
Lena! Don't you trust me?
Just as much as you trust me!
Getting a little too full of ourselves, aren't we? All right, get into the chopper. But let's not forget who's in charge.
All ashore, folks. And remember, the next time you're looking for adventure, climb aboard the Jolly Roger.
James, look! That must be Kincaid's helicopter taking off.
Painted black with a skull and crossbones on the side. How'd you know?
A flying chariot. Billy Bones, have you ever seen the like?
Yeah, get used to it. There are wonders galore in this brave new world.
We have to notify the police, the FBI, the CIA.
And tell them what, Mom? You heard Officer Healy. They think Frank Kincaid is a fine, upstanding citizen.
Not to mention a famous explorer.
James is right, Mrs. Hawkins. How do you not sound crazy when you explain that the guy is a 300-year-old pirate named Flint?
A pirate who may have the key to travel back in time whenever and wherever he chooses.
He won't just steal priceless treasure. He could change history.
And who's going to believe a story like that?
I do.
Really?
When your father was designing the new museum at the Statue of Liberty, one night I came into his study and he was looking at this map and said something about treasure and history.
What was the map of?
I don't know. He was a dreamer, James. Like you.
Mom.
No more dreaming. I don't know what this Kincaid or Flint is up to, but we can't let him get away with it.
I know there's a woman for you.
Totally into her.
Stop that!
What are we waiting for? After them!
Wait, what can we do even if we find Kincaid?
In 1756, Flint has a price on his head, dead or alive.
'Tis true. The royal governor at Jamaica has a hangman and a rope at the ready.
We can't have him arrested here. He's not wanted in our time.
Morgan Goodwin, you're a genius!
I am?
She is?
If we could control the vortex, we could send Kincaid back to his own time to face his punishment.
Now that would be sweet.
Sweet!
Okay, but we have to catch him first, and we don't even know where he's going.
Kincaid said he has an office in a skyscraper.
Manhattan.
But how do we get there?
Well, I don't have a helicopter, but I do have a minivan with a full tank of gas.
Mom, you'll drive us?
Your father made life an adventure, and since he's not here, it's my turn. What are you waiting for? Everyone in!
You say you call this a minivan?
This old clunker has a lot of miles, but she still gets the job done.
John Silver, you ride shotgun. We'll get in the back.
Shotgun?
Shotgun?
Huh?
Next to my mom.
Oh, with pleasure, James lad.
Billy? Come on, we're leaving.
No, thank you. I'm through chasing treasure. It nearly got me killed more than once. Besides, I like playing at pirates a whole lot more than being one. So, I'll bid you a farewell and good luck.
Good luck to you as well, Billy.
See you later, Billy.
Bye, Billy.
You take care of those kids, John Silver.
Buckle up. Here we go.
Buckle up.
Buckle up. Ah.
Full speed ahead, Mom. Next up, New York City.
Treasure Island 2020, Episode 8. What happens next? Well, you'll find out as we're bringing you an episode of Treasure Island 2020 every day here on the Appleseed. Google Treasure Island 2020 and listen to all 10 episodes of the show. You can listen to episodes you may have missed. You can share it with your friends. You can even skip ahead if you can't wait to find out what comes next. Stick around. More coming up here on the Appleseed. I'm Sam Payne.
You're listening to the Appleseed. We'll be back in a moment.
Welcome back to The Appleseed. Here's Sam Payne.
It's great to have you back with us today on The Appleseed. Before the break, you heard Episode 8 of Treasure Island 2020, the 10-part series unspooling every day here on The Appleseed. And let's wrap up with this story from Dan Kedding. It's called The Magic Mill, and what do you know? It's got pirates in it. Dan Kedding on The Appleseed.
Once a long, long time ago, but not so long that we can't remember, there was a wealthy farmer who had two sons. Now the oldest son was a cruel, hard-hearted young man, but the younger son, he was kind and good-natured. When the old man died many years later, he left his farm and his big house and all his fortune to both young men to be divided equally. But the oldest young man got hold of the will, and he changed it. He changed it so that he got everything, the house, the farm, and all the money. And the younger brother only got the clothes on his back. And now the oldest boy, he lived in wealth and splendor. And the youngest boy, he lived in town, in the poorest section of town. He didn't even have enough money to go to another place to find work. Times were hard. There was no work where he lived. And every day he would go to the house where he grew up, that now belonged to his older brother. He would knock on the back door and he would beg for table scraps. And the brother would stand there like a haughty rich man, and he would give him a can filled with all the things that the servants and his children and he and his wife wouldn't eat, the scraps from the table. And that's what the young man lived on, table scraps from his brother's table. And one day he went to his brother's house and he knocked on the door, and before the brother could hand him the scraps, he said, "Please, brother, no more table scraps. Please give me something to sell, so that I can buy seeds and grow my own food and stop this begging." Now the truth of the matter was, the older brother liked his younger brother begging from him. It made him feel good to see him grovel. He looked around the kitchen, and there was a beautiful knife sitting on the counter. He could have given him that. It would have fetched a good price in the market. But he didn't. There was a beautiful bowl, hand-carved, sitting in the corner. He could have given him that. But he didn't. Instead, there was what was left of a ham. There was the bone and some meat left on it. He had just cut some off for his children. And he picked up the ham and he threw it at the young man and said, "Here, take this. Maybe you can sell it in the market. And if you can't, maybe you should take it to the underworld. Maybe the monsters that live there, maybe they'll buy it from you. And if they won't buy it, maybe I'll be lucky and maybe they'll eat you. And then I won't have to look at you every day." And he slammed the door in his brother's face. The young man looked down at the ham lying in his arms, and he said to himself, "Maybe he's right. Maybe I should go to the underworld and try and sell it there. And maybe I'll be lucky, and maybe they will eat me and put me out of my misery." And so he tucked the ham underneath his arm, and he started to walk through the forest. And halfway through the forest, he met a very strange old man. Half of his face was black, half of his face was white. One hand was black with a white ring. One hand was white with a black ring. Half of his hair was black. Half of his hair was white. He had one brown eye. He had one blue eye. And he looked at the young man and he smiled and he said, "Where are you going?" And the young man said, "I'm going to the underworld to try and sell this ham. And if they won't buy it, I hope they'll kill me and eat me and put me out of my misery." The old man smiled sweetly and said, "They'll buy it from you. They don't get a lot of ham in the underworld. But you must be careful. They'll offer you a bag of gold. Don't you take it. For if you do, it'll turn to dust before you get home. They'll offer you a bag of jewels, but don't you take it. For before you get home, it will turn to ashes. No, what you want is a little grinding mill they keep behind the door. That's all they have that's worth anything. So that's what you ask for. And when you get it, you bring it back here, and I'll teach you how to use it." And so the young man walked through the forest. He walked through the pasture. He walked through the swamp, and he walked through the desert till he came to the underworld. And there he saw a mighty fortress carved out of gray, gray stone. The young man knocked on the huge stone gate, and slowly it opened, and there stood the hugest, most disgusting monster he'd ever imagined. Shoulders as wide as a barn door, and it had three heads, each one more disgustingly ugly than the other one. The middle head looked down and said, "What do you want, worm?" The young man looked up and said, "Well, you see, I've got this ham that I thought you might be interested in buying." The right head said, "Ham? Oh, I love ham. Oh, yes, yes, let's buy that ham." The left head said, "Oh, ham. Oh, yes, give him a bag of gold." The middle head looked down and said, "We'll give you a bag of gold." No, what I really want is the grinding mill you keep behind the door. The right head said, "No, he can't have that." The left head said, No, give him a bag of jewels. Yes, he'll take that." The middle head looked down and said, "We'll give you a bag of jewels." No, if you don't want to trade for the grinding mill, then I guess I'll leave." The right head said, "Oh no, we want that ham, don't let him leave." The left head said, "He'll never figure out how to use a grinding mill. Give it to him, get that ham." And so the middle head said, "All right, you can have it." And he reached behind the door, and he took the grinding mill, and he gave it to the young man, who gave them the ham. And as the huge door closed, he could hear them arguing about who was going to get which part of the ham. And now he had the grinding mill, and he walked back through the desert, through the swamp, through the pasture, into the forest, where he met the strange old man. And the old man saw him coming with the mill, and he smiled and said, "Well done. Now let me tell you, this is a magic mill, and whatever you ask for, it will give you. But you have to know the magic word to make it stop. For if you don't tell it the magic word, it will grind whatever you've asked for forever." He leaned down and he whispered the word in the boy's ear, and the boy smiled. And he went back to the poorest section of town, to the little cottage where he lived. And he put the mill on the table and he said to himself, "I wonder if it really is magic." And he turned to the mill and he said, "Mill, grind me my supper, the most marvelous, most wonderful supper anyone has ever had." And the handle went around once, it went around twice, it went around three times, and out came the most wonderful supper he'd ever seen. There was turkey and smoked ham, there was fried chicken and roast beef, vegetables of every kind, a dozen salads and every fruit in the world. There were cakes and pies and ice cream, there were breads and rolls and pastries. And soon the whole table was groaning under the weight of all the food. And he whispered the magic word, and it stopped. And he invited all his neighbors, and they all came in, and they ate, and they ate, and they ate. And everyone went home with leftovers, and none of them were table scraps. And the next morning, the young man, he looked at the mill, and he said, "Mill, grind me bags of gold." The handle went around once, it went around twice, it went around three times. And out came bags of gold. And after a while, he whispered the magic word, and it stopped. And he took the bags of gold, and he went to all his neighbors in that poor section of town. And every house got a bag of gold. And now the poor weren't poor anymore. And with his gold, he bought a horse, and he rode till he came to the sea. Now in those days, so long ago, the sea was pure, and the water was sweet. And the people and the birds and the animals would come to the beach, and they drank straight from the shore. And there was a beautiful cliff, and he climbed to the top of the cliff, and he put the mill down, and he said, "Mill, grind me a palace, the most wonderful, most beautiful palace in the world." And the handle went around once, it went around twice, it went around three times, and up rose walls of gold, towers of silver, windows of crystal. And when it was big enough, he whispered the magic word, and it stopped. He took it to one of the rooms, and he said, "Fill it with gold," and it did. He took it to another room, "Fill it with silver," and it did. And he took it to a third room, and he said, "Fill it with jewels," and it did. And now he was wealthy beyond belief. But did it change the young man? Not at all. He was still as good-natured as ever. If you came to his door and you were hungry, he would feed you and send you on your way with a bag of silver. If you came to his door and you were cold, he would give you a new coat and give you a bag of jewels to take home. He was good and kind, like he'd always been. But one day there was a knock at the door, and when he opened the door, there stood his brother. My brother! Oh, my favorite brother! I'm your only brother, said the young man. Well, didn't I always give you anything you wanted and helped you in any way? And the young man said, no. Well, didn't I give you the ham so you could get your magic mill? Word is spread. The young man nodded his head and said, yes. And he reached over by the table where the magic mill was, and he showed it to his brother. This is my magic mill. And the older brother's eyes gleamed with greed. And he said, don't you think I should have it for a little while, since I gave you the ham that you traded for this mill? And without a word being spoken by the young man, the older brother reached over and grabbed the mill, and he ran out the door. And he ran and he ran, and he thought to himself, that fool, he'll never see this mill again. And he got to his own house just as his family was coming down for breakfast. He called his wife and his children and all the servants around him in the kitchen. He said, I'm making breakfast today. His wife looked at him and said, you? You can't even boil water. He looked at her and said, watch. Mill, grind me oatmeal, the most wonderful oatmeal in the world. Oatmeal with brown sugar and raisins and apricots. Grind me oatmeal, mill. And the handle went around once, twice, and three times, and out came the most delicious oatmeal the world has ever known. It filled up all the bowls. And the man said, that's enough, mill, thank you. But it kept grinding. It filled up all the pots. That's enough, stop. It filled up all the pots. It filled up the barrels. It filled up the sink. He said, that'll do. It overflowed onto the floor. He and his family ran into the dining room. They held back the door. Soon the whole kitchen was filled with oatmeal, and it pushed open the door. They ran into the living room. Soon the whole dining room was filled with oatmeal. It pushed open the door. They ran outside, and they held the door, and soon the whole house was filled with oatmeal, and the front door was pushed open, and a tidal wave of oatmeal chased them down the road. He ran till he got to his brother's house. Oh, brother, please come and get your magic mill. The young man came. He whispered a few words at the back door, and it stopped. And he took his magic mill back to his castle, and he left his brother with 4 feet of oatmeal in his living room. And he lived a happy and wonderful life, till one day a pirate ship came by. And they looked up, and they saw that palace made of gold and silver and crystal, and they said to themselves, a great lord lives there. Let's see if we can rob him of some of his wealth. And they docked their ship, and they dressed themselves as rich merchants. And they went to the door of the palace, and they knocked. The young man opened it, and they said, oh, we're lost, and our ship needs repair. We were wondering, could we spend the night here? And the young man said, of course. They had a wonderful meal. And as they walked down the hallway, the pirates peeked into one room and saw that it was filled with gold. They peeked into another and saw it was filled with silver. They peeked into a third and saw it was filled with jewels. And they said to him, you must be a great lord living in this palace with all this wealth. And the young man smiled and said, oh, no, I have a magic mill, and it gives me anything I want. He took them to another room, and there was the mill sitting on a table. He said, mill, grind me silk, the most beautiful silk in the whole world. The handle went around once, twice, and three times, and out came silk, every color of the rainbow, the most beautiful silk. When it touched your skin, it felt like water. And the pirates looked as the silk built up around their ankles and then around their knees. They never heard the young man whisper the magic word. And then it stopped. He took them to their rooms, and when he was gone, the pirates turned to their captain and said, Captain, let's steal all the wealth this young man has. The captain said, that's a stupid idea. Let's steal the magic mill instead. And that's what they did. And the next day, the young man came down and the mill was gone. And though he was a bit disappointed, he didn't miss it much, for he was so wealthy that he and his children and his children's children's children would live like kings. But now the pirates had the mill, and they put out to sea. And when they were far from shore, one of the pirates said, hey, Captain, let's have it grind us some gold. Bad idea, said the captain. We'll wait till we get back to our island, and we'll fill up our houses with gold. Another pirate said, Captain, how about jewels? That's just as bad. When we get back to our island, we'll pave our streets in diamonds. And all the pirates laughed. One of the pirates was eating a chicken leg. And he said, hey, cook, how about some salt? The cook said, well, you see, we ran out of salt the other day. No, salt? How are we going to eat our food? Hey, captain, can you have that thing grind us some salt? Now that's a practical idea, said the captain. Mill, grind us some salt. The handle went around once, twice, and three times, and out came salt. It filled up the shaker. It filled up the salt bin. The captain said, that'll do. But it kept grinding. It filled up the pots and pans. Stop! It kept grinding. It filled up the barrels. Stop, said the captain. I command you. It kept grinding. They threw it in the hull of the ship. It filled up the whole ship. It filled up the deck, and soon the whole pirate ship sank underneath the weight of all that salt. And all the pirates sank with it. And somewhere at the bottom of the sea, there's a magic mill, and the handle goes around and around and around. And that's why the sea is salty.
Dan Kedding with The Magic Mill here on The Appleseed. Thanks so much for joining us, not only for that Dan Kedding story, but also for Treasure Island 2020, Episode 8. As we said, you can find all of the episodes online. Just Google Treasure Island 2020, and you can go back and listen to any episodes you may have missed, or share them with your friends, or even skip ahead if you can't wait to find out what comes next. The Appleseed is produced by Jeff Simpson. Our sound engineer is Stuart Foster. I'm Sam Payne. It's always such a pleasure to be with you. We hope you'll join us again right here on The Appleseed.
Thanks for joining us for an hour of stories, music, and conversation made for you and your family and brought to you by The Appleseed. The show is a production of BYU Radio. We'll see you next time.